Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn Audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Hashtag Finance Master show. Great to see so many people joining once again, this time with a special episode on integrated business planning, today sponsored by Jedox. Jedox can help you master integrated business planning by downloading the ultimate guide to integrated business planning. And there's a link in the article that you can go and tap into. I'll also post it in the show networking chat that's on the event page. With that in mind, let's get into it. Why finance should go all in on integrated business planning. So planning for your company's future has never been more important. With the continuous acceleration of the pace of change, good planning is a critical capability to have as a company. Most companies have a significant challenge, though. Their planning happens in silos and rarely gets integrated and aligned for optimal decision and direction setting. In finance, we usually consolidate the input we get from other functions in a financial plan that informs senior management, the board, and the market, if relevant. However, we also know that, unfortunately, the input we get from other functions is created with limited care for the receiver, as it's a one-way information exchange. And functions like sales and marketing don't feel like they get anything out of it. Instead, they spend most of their efforts on their own sales plans or marketing plans. And you know what? No one can blame them, because planning is needed throughout the company, but for different purposes. Sales need to plan how to win business from existing and new customers. They need to plan how many sales calls and sales reps they need to win this. Marketing needs to plan which campaigns to run and collateral to develop to bring in new leads. All functions have their objectives and need to develop plans for how to deliver on them, and subsequently execute the plans. Because the planning happens in silos, the roll-up of the plans and execution rarely lead to the results of strategy fulfillment that management want. How can we change this? We'll try to dig further into this question in this episode. You've probably seen all sorts of different advents of new ways of doing planning throughout the years. Some of them more successful than others. Recently, we saw the invention of the term XP&A, Extended Planning Analysis. And I'm sure more terms will continue to come. The fact of the matter is, though, that almost 90% of all companies continue to do budgets the way they all have done. They might have added tactical processes on top, like rolling forecasts, for instance. However, it's really just adding more work and more stress to an already overworked finance department. Stress and work that at the end of the day doesn't translate into results that we want as a company. Because of that, maybe not only because of that, but because of that, we believe it's time to go all in on integrated business planning. It's clear that a perhaps new or at least unified approach to planning is needed. And that is also the intention behind the advent of the term XP&A. However, we perhaps need not introduce new terms when we can use existing processes that are already inherent in the company. This is where integrated business planning, or IBP for short, could come into the picture. IBP is a business planning methodology that extends from sales and operations planning as a means of translating strategy into execution. It's the broadest planning process employed in companies today. However, still lacks true integration, since, for instance, financial planning and human resource planning are rarely part of the process. Or you can say they are bolt-ons to the process, much like a sales plan would be a bolt-on to a budget process. In that sense, we are all running our own processes, suboptimal matter, which of course then contributes to the silo thinking. To fix this, we should see IBP in the context of a strategy cascade. If we consider the Playing to Win strategy framework by Roger Martin, which we have talked quite a bit about in some of these shows here, if we make it part of the management system that's required to drive and follow up on strategy at every level in the organization, we ensure that we have an aligned approach to strategy and execution. And just to refresh, the Playing to Win framework has a company management team set out a winning aspiration for what the company should achieve, making choices about where to play in the market and how to win where we decide to play. It speaks about what capabilities do we actually then need to win, and the management system is how we're going to follow up on this, but in principle also cascade some of this down into the organization. Secondly, if we put finance in charge of running the management system, which I do believe it should, we ensure that we have an objective party in all the planning processes. Finally, this also ensures an aligned financial plan that has buy-in and commitment throughout the organization. Now, if finance is to play an objective role, it means we can't dictate either what others should be doing. Rather, we should be facilitating the process, asking the right questions, ensuring we collaborate across so that sales, marketing, operations, HR, procurement, supply chain, whatever else your functions are called, planning in an aligned way. Finance can be that glue. Of course, besides being an objective facilitator, it also requires that we are a business partner, that the functions trust us with their best guess or best estimate of where they expect to be and share realistic plans, but also ambitious plans. We can't have gaming going on in the process. It can't be the good old budget game that we are playing. We need to have a great aligned plan that we all believe in and can deliver, and it's going to take company towards realizing a strategy. Because if we're all gaming, if we're all holding something back, I'll guarantee you it will fall short of our strategic ambitions. Of course, this sounds good in practice, and it is usually more complex. If it wasn't then, it probably would have been done like this today already. What it takes to realize this idea, two P's, platform and partnering. In simple terms, it requires that the management system and associated planning can be done on one platform. Not because, from a process perspective, it absolutely must be there, but from a collaboration perspective. Every time you need to take data out of one system and put it into a spreadsheet to then manipulate it and put it into another system, you have a big risk of eroding trust. But if everything is on the same platform that we all work on and that we all trust, this definitely helps promote the collaboration. And of course, it also makes the process easier. Now, it doesn't mean that the one platform can't integrate two other systems. You could, of course, have a CRM system or an HRM system that's running on the side with different kind of data that then feeds in. But the planning is done on one platform. The more systems and intermediary spreadsheets needed, the less likely it is to achieve truly integrated business planning. This is a key step for companies to upgrade their current platform or invest in a new that can do IBP. However, as we know, platforms or technology is only enabling. So of course, it's not enough. For finance to act as a neutral party and not be seen as a biased party, we need strong business partnering skills. Business leaders need to feel and understand that we are there to help them be successful, but also have the overall company interests at heart. If they start to doubt our motives, we will fail. And I think this is probably the most difficult part of achieving a truly integrated business planning. Because if there are no neutral parties, it's going to be a mess. And if the neutral party is not trusted, it's going to be a mess too. So we need trust in the process. Hello, Stone. Seems like you made it here now. Feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective or ask questions.
My name is Aston Steven from Tanzania, and I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for this amazing, amazing topic, but somehow in our organization finds some challenge regarding to integrating and integrating all department facilitate its most planning. So my key question, I just want to know from your experience and the perspective, what kind of strategies can be placed to ensure that integration of various departments facilitate better allocation of resources and accountability? Thank you.
Great question, Stone. And I think that there are two key elements to it. The first is, of course, top management buy-in alignment. If the executive team across functions agree that this is a great idea and see the benefits and are willing to stand behind it, that step needs to be there. If they are not in agreement and alignment and want to do their own things, it's not going to work. And the second thing is what we've talked about today, having that objective facilitative party at the table. I think that can be finance. Of course, that can be debated. But if there's no neutral party at the table, we typically run into a lot of issues. So I think those are two key elements for sure. We also now have Brian Lapidus on stage. I'm really curious to hear what Brian has to say. Brian, welcome. Feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective.
Hi, thanks, Anders, and hello to everybody. My name is Brian Lapidus. I'm with the Association for Financial Professionals. And we had some informal research about a year ago where we asked people in the FP&A function what percentage of time they actually spent working with a business. And two-thirds of the respondents said they spend two-thirds of their time doing work for other people in finance. So it seems like we have a challenge where our processes are set up not to serve the business, but primarily to serve other functions within finance. I'd love to get your thought on not just the technology that has to change and the partnering, but how do we change our processes to make sure that we're really serving the business as a customer as opposed to other people within the CFO organization?
I think that's a great question as well, Brian. And I could hear the birds singing in the back. So are you sitting in the yard or there in Maryland? I remember you've been sitting there for a few times when we've spoken.
Sure. No, it's springtime in Washington.
Very nice. So I think it's something that we see quite often is that finance is doing finance work, right? Finance for finance work. So we are serving other finance stakeholders. And in that sense, we're doing it all backwards, right? We think that the rest of the company are there to serve finance, and they're there because finance is there. But of course, finance is there because there's a business to run. And of course, we need to focus on ensure that everything that happens in a company is compliant and where we're in control of things. But speaking about doing planning and forecasting, for instance, I really truly believe that we want the best plan, including the financial plan. We need to focus on what is it that the business wants to achieve. Of course, strategy is business, is not finance, right? So what do we want as a company from a strategic perspective? What do each of the business functions want to achieve to realize that strategy? And then make it our goal to help them achieve that. And then, yes, there might be some finance processes that we need to run. I think we can cut a lot down on them. But our mindset has often been that, for instance, we've talked about chasing accuracy on forecasts and budget, right? So having forecast accuracy as a KPI. And if the forecast is not 95% or more accurate, then we have an issue. That leads people to spend so much time trying to figure out, okay, how can we make this more accurate and how can we get more details in? And it just fosters so much work. And it's just a finance KPI. I mean, the business doesn't care. We don't get richer from it. Yeah, we can surely learn if we're inaccurate. I'm not saying that. We have so many internal finance processes where we do them because we want to ensure we have quality, and it's that 99% mindset. So I think it's a mindset change to focus on serving the customer, and that can be an internal customer as well, external customer, rather than self-serving or serving finance. And that's probably one of the hardest changes to make. But we always talk about changing from being finance-centric to being customer-centric. And I think if we can make that change as a finance function, we can get far, and we will realize that a lot of the work we do is not really that relevant in the overall scheme of things. So a more philosophical answer probably than a very practical one, Brian, but those would be some of my thoughts there.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think you put your finger on it, that there's a confusion between precision and practicality. And there are some parts of the CFO organization where that precision is critical, and there are others where it actually stops you from doing good work because the future isn't precise. And so I think that the evolution of the CFO is separating out the different areas and giving them clear mandate and saying, look, accounting, control, your responsibility is rigor, control, and putting things in the right, in accounting in the right way. And other areas like FP&A are more strategy, business, operation, forward-looking. And as you've said often in your writings, it's a mindset change to move from one to the other, as well as a skill set change, and also a process and operational change.
No, absolutely. And I'll give you, not just for you, of course, Brian, but for everybody, I'll give you a very concrete example that I worked through when I was in my practitioner's days. So we were doing the rolling forecast, which would typically also form the basis of the budget later on. And when one of the business leaders, whom I just recently had started to work with, he came to me and said, you know, I'm right now forecasting my imports and exports, and I have these 3,000 units that the system just cannot allocate properly between import and export. So when you look at the numbers and you do your controlling, I just wanted to know it's not going to be 100% accurate. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, he's doing 500,000 units a year, 3,000, that's nothing. So I told him, you know what? Forget about it. It doesn't matter. You know, 3,000, that's nothing. We don't need to spend time on that. But why was he coming to me with this? Is of course because someone in the, let's say, more controlling part of the company had been looking at those deviations at the bottom and say, well, if it's not 99.9% correct, we have probably some error somewhere and we need to fix it. So you're the business leader, you need to fix this. And he had tried, by all means, also with other finance people he had been working with no luck. But being customer-centric, I have to distinguish between what's important and what's not. 3,000 out of 500,000 is typically not important. So I made the call right there and then I say, you go away, you do your business. If someone gives you a hard time, send them to me and I'll deal with them. And guess what? No one ever said anything. No one ever gave anyone a hard time after that. There was no fuss about it. So we just saved me a lot of time for looking into some technicality, and we saved the business leader a lot of time to do work that wasn't even value adding to his business. All right. So it's very simple, practical example, but so powerful in showcasing the mindset change that we need in the finance teams.
One of the trends that we're hearing from our membership is doing less, but doing it better. And I hear this from one company who said they went from having 500 key metrics down to about 30. So of course you laugh and you say, well, if they have 500 metrics, they can't all be key metrics. But in order to speed up the pace of reporting, they really are focusing on moving from this idea of just being the data dump department that says, look how good we are. It's all in here. You figure it out. To really focusing down on what matters. And so company happens to have, be in 180 different countries. So for them, getting it down to 30 by country, by market, was really important because it allowed them to have better conversations about what really matters, right? If you have 500 metrics, 500 can't matter equally. So by doing reporting less, focusing deeper, they were really able to have deeper conversations on those. And that was, and they didn't lose anything out of their forecasting and what was driving the business. And I feel like I've heard this more frequently, more often. So it's just the trend of just because we can measure everything doesn't mean we should just focus on what really is the business driver.
You're so true, Brian. And it's, I'm laughing a bit here because I actually released a blog post on a CFO site just yesterday speaking about exactly this issue. And we all know the saying that what gets measured gets managed or gets done. But maybe someone has said it before, but I said, if you measure everything, then nothing gets done. And I think many companies have gone down this KPI rabbit hole and have forgotten the K in KPI. I believe that no team should be looking at more than 3 to 5 KPIs in general, and actively probably shouldn't be managing more than 1 or 2 of them. If they do that, if they have focus on what really matters for their part of the business for a specific period of time, they can deliver results, right? Because they're smart people, that's what they hired to do. But if they're being asked to focus on way too many things, we achieve nothing. And I think that's in the spirit of planning and everything else. I think it's the same, right? If every department is planning on their own and focusing on lots of different KPIs, and it doesn't come together, and we don't realize the potential as a business the way we wanted it to. So I'm just going to go ahead here and round off, Brian, but I really truly appreciate these questions here, and probably we need to find a way to continue this discussion because it's so vitally important for everyone here, but also for the wider finance and FP&A community. But with platform and partner skills in place, we're set up to drive a successful, whether you didn't do IBP or not, it doesn't really matter, but a successful planning process and deliver better outcomes for the company to realize a strategy, which is what we're there for, right? So think about what you consider best practices in the realm of planning and think about how you as a finance professional can be that facilitator of the integrated business plan, a bit like the challenge that a stone is facing, right? How can I actually be that glue that binds everything together? It all comes down to trust and, of course, your ability to communicate. But we need a new way forward on planning. We don't necessarily have to invent something new. We can maybe just become better at, as Brian really just said, do less, but do it better. So really just choose one way of doing planning across the company, align it, stop working in silos, and I guarantee you, you're going to deliver better business results, which is what's going to make everyone happy. With that, big thanks to Stone and then also Brian for coming up to the stage, for asking questions, for sharing perspectives, and really love that you shared some of your survey results there, Brian. I think that's key, understanding what is actually happening out there with other practitioners, what are their challenges, and how are they finding solutions. I think that's really key, and I truly appreciate having that in today's show. And thank you to everyone listening. We will be back next week. And remember, you can always catch the podcast on your favorite channels at any given time. Thanks a lot, everyone, and see you next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?